Good evening to everybody. Can everybody hear me? Can you hear me? Tonight we're going to discuss the life of Moses. I've jotted down a few things that I think that we all can relate to, and hopefully we can see from our life the examples that Moses had left, and we can try to emulate some of those things that are pleasant in Moses' life. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Exodus chapter 2, 1 through 10. And in this context, we're going to be dealing with God's protection and his providence in Moses' life. God's protection and providence in his life. And it says, "And there went out a man of the house of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrush and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him." And it says, "And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child and behold, the baby wept. And she had compassion on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, 'Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages.' And the woman took the child and nursed it." We can see in this context that God was with Moses from the beginning. You know, when we think about our life, we may lose focus when we fall short of God's glory at times. You know, we may think that God is not with us, but God says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please him. He that cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him." That's what Hebrews 11 teaches us. So we can have that faith. We can believe and know that God is going to always be there with us. Jesus says it, I think it's Matthew 11, around verse 25, "Ye that are burdened, you know, come to him, you know, with our burdens, and he will give us rest. He will give us the comfort that we need, but we must have faith and believe that God will be with us no matter what. Sometimes I remember one point in time in my life where I was struggling and I didn't know where to go, how to carry myself, how to be pleasing to God. And so I lost that faith. But over time, the more we have faith, the more we trust in God, we would know that he's constantly with us. You know, we may not see it in our struggles, but we will see it as long as we keep that faith and trusting in him. But God is always around. The only thing we would have to do is just trust in him, pray to him, and follow his commandments and follow his laws, and he's going to be there no matter what. And we can see because at that time, they made a decree where any child that was born, to get rid of them, to kill them. But his parents didn't do that. They kept him, and through God's providence, he was able to be there for God, to be there to protect Moses and his during his providence. Also, it shows in Exodus chapter 2, verses 11 and 15, Moses' passion and his personality. In Exodus chapter 2, and verse 11 through 15, and it says, and the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, and she called his name Moses. And she said, because I draw him out of the water. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens. They can show he's concerned about his brethren. He's passionate about his brethren. You know, are we passionate with one another? Do we care for one another? Do we love each other? And the way we go about doing it is showing forth our actions. When one of us are in need, how can we help one another? How can we encourage one another to do the will of the Lord? Then it says, and he spied an Egyptian smiting in Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptians and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strode together, and he said to him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. Now when Pharaoh heard these things, he sought to slay Moses, but Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. And he sat down by a well. But we can see that Moses was compassionate in his personality because he cared for his brother enough to help him out. You know, even though what he did was not good by, you know, killing another man, he still showed his concern and his emotions towards his brethren. You know, he grew up as an Egyptian, you know, under Pharaoh's roof. But when we look at the latter part of Exodus chapter 1, where it talks about, and it says, Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go, and the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. In that context, his mother was with him during his childhood. It doesn't say how long, but when you look at the next verse in chapter 2, it says, and the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter and became her son. But his mother was with him in his earliest part of his life, so she taught him of who he was. I'm pretty sure she groomed him in his where he came from and who he was. And we can see that Moses knew his brethren. He knew that he needed to help him. You know, he was called at. Do you have something?
That no matter what, that's your brother. Mm-hmm.
Good point. Look at, I believe it's Acts chapter 7. This kind of, to me, this kind of touched on to what Sister Ruth was saying. Exodus chapter 7 and verse 21. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds. So he had, like Sister Ruth has said, he was a prince in Egypt. You know, he was able to know all of their upbringing, and he had like a status for himself because he was with the daughter of the king. You know, so to her point, he had status. And so when he seen his brother, he could have easily looked away. He could have easily not have had compassion for him. He could have chose to look the other way and go and do his own thing because he was in that type of environment. And that's what the point that she was making is, no matter where our status is in life, we can always have the right mindset, the right attitude to go and help the people who need help, you know, because Christ, being God in the flesh, he helped us all, and he still helps us to this very day. So we can have that same compassion, we can have that same type of personality when we see somebody that is in need to go out and help them, no matter who it is, no matter what background they came from. We're all here to serve one another. We're all here to be like Christ. Any comments or points? Michael?
I don't know. I guess I just read it this for the 100th time, for the first time, but when he talks about his brother being nourished for his own son, in verse 22, it says Moses would learn it. All the wisdom of the Egyptian was mighty in words and deeds. So when you go through Acts 7, you realize, well, this is a great story, right? But it's missing some detail that we're going to read about in Exodus. You know, we read about in Exodus. He's mighty in words and deeds, but when you look at, and you may touch on this, he doesn't think he's mighty in words and deeds, right? So I'm going to leave it there. Because I don't want to steal your thunder if that's where you're going. But I just have never realized reading Acts 7 right now. Because that's going to be one of the excuses. Like, what do I say? I'm not good. But Acts says he was. So was that excuse legit? Like, I really do not have, or it was an excuse like you make today, like, oh, I'm not as good as you, or I can't do this, or just, we're not that much different. But anyway, I'll leave it there.
A very good point. I think it's in Exodus chapter 4. Let's go to Exodus chapter 4. In verse 10. Yeah, that's it. He said, and Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. What we have in Acts chapter 7, verse 22, he grew up with all wisdom and knowledge and mighty in words. That sounds like a According to the scripture, that sounds like an excuse, like he was probably nervous or, you know, afraid. When you think about his life, he killed the man, and then somebody, I believe the person that called him out was the one that was being attacked. You know, and he fled away, and then he stayed in Midian for like 40 years. And so he's thinking about all of that, but you're here. But God is telling him, you know, I'm going to be there with you. When God talk to us, how do we react to what he says? How do we conduct ourselves about what God wants us to do? You know, we can have every excuse in the book. But if God is for us, who can be against us? That's why it's important to have that faith. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. We'll start at around verse 20, I believe it's 25 of Hebrews 11. And as soon as I get there, if someone's there, start at verse 25. You don't mind. Keep reading.
By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept Passover and the strength of the blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempted to do so with dry.
And we can see that Moses had that trust in God. You know, Proverbs 3:5-6 says, lean not into thy own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. We can see that Moses had, he fully trusted in God. And you look at the whole context of Hebrews chapter 11, you had men of faith that had the evidence and women of faith to trust in God and believe in God. And when you think about Moses' life, when God had called him, he made all these excuses to not serve him. But God knew his heart. God knew what he was going to do. We have to have that trust and that faith in God to know that no matter what, God is going to provide for us. Like this is my first time ever doing a character study. I've taught many different lessons, but I never actually did a character study. So it's interesting to me to learn. I've heard lessons on Moses and how meek he was, how he was able to lead the children of Israel, but I never really took the time out to do an in-depth study of his life. But we know the type of man he was because the scriptures highly point on what he did and how he was a leader for the children of Israel. And God has called for us to do the same thing. We just have to have the right heart, the right personality, the right attitude to have those fruits of the Spirit that he gives us in the scriptures. But another point about Moses, his preparation and his isolation. His preparation and his isolation. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 2, and we will read verses 16 through 25. Exodus chapter 2, verses 16 through 25. Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters, and there came and drew water and filled the throughs to water their father's flock. And the shepherds came and drove them away, but Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. And when they came to rule their father, he said, how is it that ye are come so soon today? And they said, an Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds and also drew water enough for us and watered the flock. And he said unto his daughters, and where is he? Why is it that ye have left the man? Call him that he may eat bread. And Moses was content to dwell with the man, and he gave Moses Zipporah his daughter, and she bare him a son, and he called his name Gershon. For he said, I have been a stranger in a strange land. And it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by the reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage, and God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respected unto them. And we seen how Moses was able to help the daughter, and how he was able to, he was able to I lost my train of thought. But when you consider what Moses had went through and what all he, how he got up to this point of helping those that were in need, how he watered the flock, how he watered his flock, and how he helped the women to get the things that they needed. You know, they was in, at that time, they was in a struggle with preparing and the things that they needed to get while they went out, but Moses was there to help them. And that shows his how he prepared and how he kind of stood out amongst the people that was around him. And when we look at our life, how do we plan our day out? How do we go about seeing how we can serve the people in our home, how we can serve the people that we work around every single day, or the people that we see from day to day? You know, how do we go about planning and making that preparation and seeing in everything that we do, we can always prepare, we can always help those that are in need, we can always have a thought-out plan of doing the will of the Lord. You know, sometimes we go throughout our day and we just do things that is out of habit. But when we plan our day, when we make preparation of how we're going to be pleasing to God, how do we go about doing that? You know, we live from day to day. We're only promised for today. But I know the last few weeks I've been dealing with how to be a servant in our home, how to be a servant on our jobs. You know, every Tuesday morning I do lessons, do devotions on those to see how I can plan out my day, how I can be pleasing to God by everything that I do and everything that I say. You know, Colossians chapter 3 tells us about redeeming the time because the days are evil. How do we go about planning methodically from day to day in serving God? You know, we sometimes, I know when I first obeyed the gospel, you know, I didn't have nearly as much knowledge as I do now. And I still have a lot of growing to do. You know, I still have room to grow. But I know at this point in time in my life, I can plan out my day. I can have those preparations. I can step aside and see what God is trying to do in my life and see how I can plan and have that character of Christ, you know. And it's important to do that because, like the scripture says in the Colossians chapter 3, redeeming the time, I believe it's Colossians 3. Let's look at Colossians 3, I think, is right in verse Right in verse 12, I believe. It's not in Colossians 3. I'll find it eventually. It might be, I believe it's in Ephesians.
Ephesians 5:16?
Yep, that's where it's at. I knew it was either Colossians or Ephesians, but Ephesians chapter 5, it says, let's start a little bit further back. Let's start at verse 14. Now, it's verse 16, but I want to bring out a point. It says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. So Christ is our example in it. And he's saying, you know, don't be dead spiritually. You know, focus on serving God. Then it says in verse 15, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So every day that we live, you know, we're here to serve God. You know, we're here to be pleasing to him by everything that we do and everything that we say. I see you, Sonny and Dee Dee. And we need to focus on how we can serve God in our homes, how we can serve God wherever we go, how we can use our time wisely, how we can prepare to do God's will. Brother Sonny? Good point. Dee Dee?
Going back to when Moses told God that he wasn't eloquent enough, you know, I struggle with the same thing when it comes to doing things in the Lord. I'm not as comfortable as I should be, and I make a lot of excuses on why, just like he did to God, he made an excuse saying why he can't do something because of his own insecurities. And I find myself very often doing the same thing. Like, if we're in the ladies' Bible class and they're looking for someone to pray, I'll shy away from praying out loud in front of other people. Like, let me be the last resort. If we don't have anyone else and I'm forced to do it, I'll do it. But I never want to be put on a spot where I have to do that in front of other people because of my own insecurity. Sometimes I'll say, a family member, they need prayer, and I'll say, oh, I'm going to call them back when Chris gets home so Chris can pray for them. And I'm getting in the way of God. God is not able to use me for his purpose and his will because I'm getting in the way because of my own insecurities. And instead of me trusting in God, that God will be there with me every step of the way and he'll get me through it, I just lean on my own understanding and my own strength and not, you know, in the Lord. So I can, you know, I relate to what Moses was going through at first. But
trust me, I relate to him right now. Nah, but it's good, Michael.
No, you're doing good, Corey. Thank you. I do want to give Moses some grace. He was 80, and my voice probably won't be as good. You know, I'm not going to be as, not that I know of now, but I, you know, that ability to speak, like, hey, man, I'm 80. You know, I'm not going to be as good. But really, when you go back and look at Exodus 4:13, that's when there were problems. He's just, find somebody else to do it. It wasn't that I couldn't do these things. Like, just find somebody else to do it. I don't want to do it. Really. So he was just making excuses, thinking, well, maybe God will fall for this, maybe God will fall for this, maybe God. And you go back and the point that Dee's making, if you look at 1 Corinthians 2, that reliance upon the Spirit, that's exactly what she's saying, right? I got to look past me, like, I don't want to do this, I'm not comfortable doing this, but put that reliance on the Spirit. If I can tell myself that, and like, I'm going to let the Spirit work in me, and I'm going to do this. It may be a train wreck, it may be choppy, it may be a train wreck, but what you're going to see in Dee is what you see in verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 2. When you read that, when I came to you, brethren, I did not come in superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and crucified. I was with you in weakness, fear, much trembling. My message, my preaching, and not persuasive words of wisdom. I mean, I'm guessing most of us here can relate to that. Like, I just really just slopped up and up, right? But in demonstration of the Spirit and the power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. What you've done, what you've demonstrated, and the effort that you put forth, and the show that you, that I'm letting that my faith move me, and I'm putting my trust in God, it's not going to be an instant of that superiority of speech or wisdom. This is Paul saying this. He doesn't have it together, but you know, what it comes down to is that demonstration of his Spirit, the demonstration of his faith, and him out there going to do it. That's in people seeing the Spirit working through his actions rather than laying back and using the same excuses. The excuses there in 1 Corinthians 2 are the same ones we see in Exodus 3 and Exodus 4.
Mm-hmm.
They're the same ones. But Paul's like, he powered through this because it's the demonstration of the Spirit and the Spirit of the church.
I have a question to ask us to help us with our faith, and anybody can answer. Who is God? Not a trick question. But who is God?
Creator of all things.
Creator of all things. Do we believe that?
He is the only one that we truly rely on for all things.
Good. Any other comments? The reason why I ask that is because of the points that we're making. You know, we get fearful of doing public speaking, we get fearful on a lot of things. But we're the children of God. You know, how we know that God is the creator of all things. He knows our thoughts. He knows our actions. He knows the things ahead of us. But do we really trust him? Do we really believe in him? Do we really rely on him? Sometimes we don't, and we lose focus of that. But, Brother Sonny, I have a passage for us, but I'm going to wait to.
Sometimes creeping, and that's the reason why you have to rely on the Word of God to guide you through. It's not that we do. I think we all believe in God and we trust in God, but it's just human nature that, you know, things are going to happen to you, that sometimes people tend to doubt even the existence of God, and that's the reason why you have to have a strong foundation, and that is built on solid ground, so that when those kind of things come, you'll be able to stand.
Good point. Turn with me to Psalms 139. I believe this chapter will help us to increase in faith. You know, every time the psalmist mentioned himself, you know, put ourselves in his shoes. Turn with me to Psalms 139. And just really meditate on these words. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understand my thoughts afar before I even can think about a thought. God knows it. Thou compass my path and my lying down. Wherever I go, God is right there. And art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it all together. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, O? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. We can see in this, God knows everything about us. You know, we can have that faith that Moses had. We can trust in God no matter what. You know, no matter how far we move away from God, no matter how, if we choose to serve him, we can live faithfully unto death, and we can actually see God face to face. Wouldn't that be exciting just to be in the presence of God? When you think about the apostles, they was in the presence of God. When you think about Moses, he was in the presence of God for 40 days and 40 nights. You know, he took the time out to focus on serving God. You know, when we look at our day-to-day life, how do we go about planning our day? How do we go about, because like Brother Sonny had mentioned, our prayer life is extremely important. You know, we have the opportunity to go to God and request anything that is of concern to us. Not only just prayer, but going into his word, really learning the scriptures and seeing how we can be like Christ, how we can have that. When you think about Christ in Matthew chapter 5, his first lesson was on the mind of man, the attitudes of man, and having the right mindset of being a servant and being humble, being meek, being long-suffering, being compassionate. You know, we know that's some of the characteristics of Moses. He was concerned for his brother. He was a leader. He was an intercessor for the children of Israel. You know, he went on their behalf a few times where God wanted to kill the children of Israel because of the disobedience. But Moses went on their behalf and prayed to God and said, you know, let's consider this. And he showed his compassion. You know, we can do that for each other. You know, we can go to God and pray for each other on our private times. We can pray for each other in public. But our whole goal in life is to serve God in everything that we do and everything that we say.
Some missteps too, but I just think, you know, what an incredible person, and God raised him up just for that purpose. You know, God knew about him and had a plan for him from before he was even born. And then it strikes me that the same is true for each one of us. And you know, it's helpful to raise characters like that up in high regard and think so highly of them and wow, they did such great things in the service of the King. But then I think that what needs to follow next is for me to take a step back and say, well, how can I be just like that? And how can I raise up to serve my King just like Moses did? He wasn't different than us. He was a man like us. And you can be King like Moses did.
Amen. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. And we can kind of compare Moses' life to that because of all of the excuses he made when he first started out. You know, how he grew and grew from day to day, how he grew in being a leader. You know, he went from, you know, having compassion and killing the man because he thought, he may have thought that was God's will for him because he was supposed to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. But we would start at verse 5. And it says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, add to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if we have faith, that's great. We need to add to it. If we have knowledge, that's great. We need to add to it. You know, in every opportunity, the only way we can go about doing it is we have a prayer life. If we stay in God's word consistently. And when a point that I think is very valid. What time is it?
8:04.
Okay. I'll wrap it up. The point is, we live from day to day. We're only promised for today. And if we focus on that particular day and not focus on the next day and not but make preparations, make plans, we can see God moving in our lives. We can see that we're beginning to be more like Christ. Let's emulate the life of Moses as he trusted in God and had that faith. But every single day, let's add to our life to be more like Christ. Thank you for your comments and your participation.